Welcome, everybody. It's Tuesday afternoon, Election Tuesday. Not so much of a big deal here in Wisconsin, but a big deal on both coasts. Lots of action today. Of course, the mayor for New York City, that election drawing its highest turnout potentially ever. The early voting was definitely the biggest early vote in New York City mayoral election history. This is one to watch, folks. Donald Trump weighing in earlier today on Truth Social. I'll get to that in just a minute. Very busy day of news, and I'm so glad that you're here with me. My name's Maggie Dawn. This is, of course, the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and I'm joined by frequent contributor to this program, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings across this network from 9 to 11. Welcome back, Jim.
Maggie, always a delight to be with you. Election day indeed in America. I think 12 different states. Is that right? Is my count right? 12 different states, mayors, attorneys general. There's a really interesting retention vote going on with respect to three members of the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania. All kinds of things to watch.
Very interesting. The top line elections, of course, I mentioned the New York mayoral race, the Virginia governor's seat, the New Jersey governor's seat, as well as the Virginia attorney general. That one probably going to be a little bit closer than the Virginia gubernatorial election. And of course, voters in California deciding if they want to meet fire with fire with Donald Trump's unprecedented call to states to engage in a mid-decade cheating. Cheating. Yeah, Donald Trump saying to states, let's cheat in the middle of the decade. We usually, and have historically, only done this re-legislative districting once a decade after the census, but we'll do it now because I can't win the House, you know, on fair terms, so we'll cheat to do it. So California going to the polls today to decide if they will, in response, engage in mid-decade redistricting in California. Here was parts of Donald Trump's Truth Social post earlier this morning about New York City. It's so presidential. If communist candidate Zohran Mamdani wins the election for mayor of New York City, by the way, Zohran Mamdani is not a communist. He is a democratic socialist. Those are different systems. Socialism is an economic system. Communism is a political system. But I'm not sure the president knows any of that, nor does he care. He goes on to say, it's unlikely that I will be contributing federal funds to my beloved first home because of the fact that as a communist, this once great city has zero chance of success or even survival. Good. So now federal aid and other grants will be doled out according to whether or not voters elect Trump-friendly politicians or folks that Donald Trump doesn't like. By the way, not the way this is supposed to look. Can you imagine if Barack Obama had done that, Jim? Can you just imagine the outrage?
Right, right. Absolutely. On all of these things, any of them, if you simply switch out Barack Obama or other, frankly, rational presidents of the past of both parties and say this is what's going to happen, there would be a tumult, there would be response on Capitol Hill, which we're still waiting for, by the way, 9-10 months into this administration. Any oversight, anything going on there, aside from passing a big bill that is compromising our economic legitimacy, any of this would get absolute meltdown outrage. And where is that? Where's that?
It's really kind of shocking. I'm going to start a new counter, I think, today. I've got to figure out if either Jacob or Jamie, my senior producer and my technical producer, can, while we're talking here, figure out exactly how many days into the second Trump administration we are. Let's start keeping count because, Jim, here is the thing. I am going to start talking about this every single day with a counter. I am waiting for a hardcore MAGA supporter, a hardcore Trump supporter, to call me up or text me just once and say, this is unseemly, this is unpresidential, this is not a good policy. Some sort of good faith, let's not have a nuanced policy debate, just something that objectively they can say, this is not what this man should be doing or saying. One thing. That is all I want, is one, just you to the Trumpers out there listening to me, the MAGAs. I just want you to tell me one thing, to criticize him on one basis. Because, friends, if you can't do that, you might be in a cult, just saying. And this is an example of the things that he shouldn't be saying or doing. Objectively, it's not debatable. You don't threaten to withhold federal grants and funding and emergency assistance because a politician you don't like wins a mayor's race. That's unseemly, unpresidential, un-American. So that's my new challenge. We are in, let's see here, day, thank you very much, Jacob, 288 of Donald Trump's presidency as of today. I'm going to be keeping track. I have yet to hear any of my regular Trumper MAGA supporting callers or texters admit of one flaw, of one wrong thing said or done, anything. Day 288, we're going to start keeping right. track here, Jim. I think it's a good idea.
I suspect, Maggie, as you flesh out these rules, it's a very broad category, right? And can be things that he says, things that he does, inappropriate gestures, things overseas, here domestically. It could be some of the big policy issues, but doesn't need to be, right?
No.
Choose your thing, right?
Identify it as being
unpresidential.
Right. It could be, for example, not funding SNAP completely when his own Office of Management and Budget top lawyer said, yep, there's plenty of, yep, that's legal, go ahead and do it, but decided in September because it didn't create political leverage, which is backfiring on Republicans terribly. You know, you should make sure that hungry people have something to eat. It could be that. Mm-hmm. It could be, for example, not pardoning this billionaire stablecoin guy that admitted to billions in fraud. It could have been that, which he then told Nora Donnell this past weekend, I have no idea who this guy is.
Who is this?
Who is this? Right. That could be also a bad thing. No. That's not the right answer to the question. It could be that him not knowing about that is analogous to any criticism of Joe Biden and use of the auto pen related to pardons. I don't care what pen you use. If you don't know who the guy is, you probably shouldn't be signing a pardon. And if you don't know anything about it, where was Nora O'Donnell's follow-up question? Then who does, Mr. President, and who recommended to you that you pardon this fraudster that your family is doing billions of dollars worth of business with that's making you more wealthy? Shouldn't you fire this person that has put you in a position to look like you have a terrible conflict of interest, corruption, pay to play? Who did that, Mr. President? Don't you want to know? Wouldn't that be an interesting interview, Jim?
Absolutely. And address all of these things. This CZ, he is the one at the top of the list. It's outrageous because the things for which he was convicted enabled things like Al-Qaeda and Hamas and other terrorist groups, ISIL, to money launder, to support their activities. That's the underlying problem. The president of the United States of America just pardoned that person, meaning, yes, historically those actions are still there, but on the books, the annals of criminal procedure, that's gone. That's gone. And all of the appurtenances then that come with no longer being a convicted felon in America, those go away.
Go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
If you want to go a step down, let's talk about George Santos too, right? This guy not only lied, defrauded people to the tune of several $100,000, and now, because of the commutation there, probably will not be obliged to pay his victims back. And there are many of those. That too, Mr. President. Someone call in and say, you know what? That one troubles me. Maggie?
Yeah, that's
right?
Bad. And so, Jacob, let's cue up Mike Johnson and a little bit of Mark Wayne Mullen here. This, I don't know about that. I didn't hear the interview. I don't know anything. This is now the Republican talking point, Jim, on anything that looks bad for them. This is what Donald Trump deploys. Oh, I don't know about that. Don't know anything about this guy, this billionaire guy that my business world financial, whatever it is doing a $1 billion bridge financing deal with the UAE. And by the way, that bridge financing deal earlier I'm not going to even get into that. There are connotations of corruption everywhere. Santos is bad. The J6 pardons are bad for the cop beaters. This one's bad because he's doing business with this guy. It looks absolutely like pay to play. But again, Donald Trump, I have no idea. And that's somehow not a problem. But that is the line from Republicans about everything that they're doing or this president is doing that is terrible. Just take a listen to Mike Johnson this morning. I don't know anything.
I don't know anything about that. I didn't see the interview. You have to ask the president about that. I'm not sure.
We tried to, Mr. Speaker, but he also says he doesn't know anything about that. Then Mark Wayne Mullen gets on CNN last night and trots out more. I don't know anything about that. Here it is.
Should the president know who he's pardoning?
Well, I don't know anything about this one. That's the first time I've seen that. But I would say the president has the authority to pardon people. And and that's within his realm to do it. So I'm not going to question who he pardons or he doesn't pardon.
That's interesting. Oh. But you do question Joe Biden's pardon, even though that's absolutely within his authority. And this, continuing Mark Wayne Mullen with his big old fancy cowboy hat on, knowing nothing about the nothings. Take a listen.
The argument from Republicans is that Biden used an auto pen for pardons and that he didn't know who he was pardoning. I mean, Trump is openly saying he did not know who he was pardoning.
He said it was recommended to him. That's what he said. It was recommended to him. He gets a lot of recommendations. And he pardons a lot of people. That was his words. If you talk about the difference between Biden, his pardons were an auto pen. That's not even up for discussion.
But Biden also knew. I mean, he pardoned his family members. He knew who they were.
He knew who he was pardoning. They both get recommendations. Who recommended that the guy in business with the president to the tune of $2 billion get a pardon that looks like corruption? Where is the follow-up question?
Can't we ask that, right? Can't we ask that question? Who inside the West Wing? Was this your chief of staff? Was it Stephen Miller? If you don't know, Mr. President, can you direct me down the hallway here to the person who can answer that question? Somebody accomplished it, and as we just heard, the only right thing about that last interview is, yes, that's right, under the Constitution, you do have an unchecked capacity to do this, all the more reason to justify what you're doing to the American public. Explain why it is this is happening. Somebody's got to know somewhere.
None of the family members or White House staff that Joe Biden allegedly pardoned using an auto pen were either unknown to Joe Biden, nor were any of them convicted of billion-dollar frauds that the federal justice system credibly alleged and linked to global terrorist organizations. Like, that might be a difference. Maybe Senator Mark Wayne Mullen with your big old fancy cowboy hat and magical thinking Mike Johnson, maybe you should care who's making the calls about pardons that look like outright corruption. We're going to come back with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We're going to talk a bit about Dick Cheney and his passing and his complicated legacy next, right here on The Maggie Dawn Show.